Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the August 6th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arcola City Council makes fifth payment in downtown rebuild by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council approved their fifth payment to Fuller Wendt for continuing construction on Main Street at their meeting Monday night, this time amounting to $108,000. Fuller Wendt is repaving the sidewalks westward on the street at the moment after completing the intersection of Main and Locust reconstruction. The council also approving a variance for the former flower patch, bed and breakfast for the installation of a privacy fence. The next article, Arcola Distinguished Alumni Banquet Reservations and Sponsorships. The Arcola Alumni Association will honor the 2025 class of Arcola Distinguished Alumni during their banquet at Kaskaskia County Club on Saturday, October 18th. All family and friends of the honored guests, as well as AHS alumni and others, are invited to attend the banquet. You need not be an Arcola High School graduate to attend this special event. Guests are invited to attend a social hour beginning at 5 p.m., followed by the dinner buffet at 6 p.m. The program, honoring the 2025 AHS Distinguished Alumni, will begin immediately following the dinner. Reservations are now being accepted, and early registration is encouraged for the October 11th deadline. The honorees in the years of graduation are Daniel Jean Dan Gear, 1962, William L. Bill Moody, deceased, 1967, Dr. Martin L. Marty Carson, deceased, 1971, Diane Olson, 1981. Sponsors of the October 18th Distinguished Alumni Banquets have an opportunity to sort projects in the Arcola schools with their tax-deductible donations to the Arcola Foundation. This year, sponsors will be recognized at a tiered level of donation. Senior sponsor, $1,000. Junior sponsor, $500. Sophomore sponsor, $250. Freshman sponsor, $100. Banquet sponsors donating $100 or more will be listed on the Distinguished Alumni Banquet Program booklet. Banquet PowerPoint presentation on the Arcola Alumni Association website at the www.arcolaalumni.org and in the County Chronicle advertising. Sponsor forms and donations must be received by Thursday, October 2nd, in order to be included in all the above listings. Sponsor donations received after that date will be included in the website and in the banquet slide presentation. Each contributor may list his or her name, including maiden name, a year of AHS graduation, a couple's names, or a business name. Sponsors also have the opportunity to honor or memorialize a former graduate, as well as a current or former distinguished alumni honoree. Each check for this tax-deductible donation should be payable to the Arcola Foundation, with Arcola Alumni Association noted on the memo line. Donations are to be mailed at Arcola Alumni Association, P.O. Box 84, Arcola, Illinois, 61910. Both reservation and sponsor forms are available on the Arcola Alumni Association webpage at www.arcolaalumni.org, at Arcola First Mid Bank and Trust, Arcola First Bank, and Arcola Public Library. Forms are also available from board members Robert Arol, Jason Butler, Carolyn Cloyd, John Fischel, Kendall Moore, Allison Phillips, Brad Pullen, Randy Rothrock, Judy Thomas, and Sue Stout. The next article, Football Co-op Gets Final Approval, Purple Riders Begin Practice by Ben Crane. The proposed three-school football cooperative between Arcola, Cerro Gordo, and Bement cleared its final hurdles Tuesday night as both the Cerro Gordo and Bement school boards voted unanimously to approve the agreement. In Cerro Gordo, board members voted optimism about the partnership with encouraging numbers in the district's junior football league fueling hope for eventually reviving the high school program. Some questioned whether their student-athletes would feel welcome in Arcola, but no serious objections were raised. Logistical concerns took center stage in Bement, where board members discussed transportation to and from practices and games, all of which will be held in Arcola. Superintendent Mary Vogt described the process leading up to the vote as preliminary, citing a tight deadline for submitting the agreement to the agreements to the IHSA. Some of the uncertainty stemmed from the County Chronicle's reporting on Monday's Arcola board meeting, which revealed that not everyone in Arcola's administration or coaching staff was fully behind the co-op. A Bement board member questioned whether their athletes would be embraced. By the end of the discussion, most of those concerns were eased. On Wednesday, the student athletes from all three schools practiced together for the first time as a unified team. The new look Purple Riders are now preparing for their 2025 season opener August 11th, hoping to return to the playoffs for the first time since a Class 1A quarterfinal appearance in 2021. Another short article, Myers Modo Concert a Sellout. Unstoppable new country headliner with superstar status. 18-year-old singer, songwriter, guitarist Ty Myers took the stage at the 94th Moultrie Douglas County Fair on Saturday evening, performing close to 3,000 concert goers coming from all over Illinois, as well as Indiana, Missouri, Ohio, Tennessee, and his home state of Texas. Myers has emerged as one of the hottest tickets in the national concert circuit, as his select tour initial 45 dates sold out in just minutes, leading to an extension of 20 more dates. Born just outside of Austin, Myers grew up in his sixth-generation family cattle ranch, and his parents and sister now manage the exploding music career as they travel the country together. We'll move now to the obituaries. William Roger Hoffman passed away June 15, 2025 in Gainesville, Georgia. The family will be gathering on Saturday, August 9th at the Arthur Cemetery at noon to inter the ashes of both Sandra and Roger Hoffman. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to donate to a cause close to Roger's heart, the North Georgia Land Trust. Nathan Smitty Allen Smith, 43, of Tolono, passed away in the early hours of Saturday, July 26, 2025, at his home. A celebration of life, Nate style, will also be held at the later date and location to be announced. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions made to his son, Joe Smith, or to NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which provides resources for individuals and families affected by mental illness and substance abuse. Fayette resident Eva Elizabeth Montfort Ridenour passed away at the Lodge, Fayette, Missouri, July 27, 2025. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 9th at the Fayette First Christian Church, Fayette, Missouri. Visitation will be held an hour prior to the service, starting at 10 a.m. at the church. The service will be streaming live on the church's YouTube channel and will follow the service at Ashland Cemetery. Memorial contributions are suggested to BreakthroughTID.org, formerly known as Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Final arrangements are under the direction of Fremouth Free Funeral Service of Fayette. The next article, Step Back in Time at the Amish Education Event, August 23rd at the Illinois Amish Heritage Center. Experience the warmth, simplicity, and wonder of a one-room schoolhouse during the Amish Education Event on Friday, August 23rd from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Illinois Amish Heritage Center. Designed especially for those who cherish the values of yesteryear, this ticketed event invites guests to live or relive the authentic rhythms of an Amish school day. Enjoy a thoughtful overview of Amish education, complete with prayer and singing, reading and spelling, Illinois history, mathematics and problem solving, geography, and good old-fashioned storytelling. Following the immersive program, attendees will be treated to a homemade lunch and are welcome to explore the center afterward. The event isn't just a look back, it's a living moment of what education looked like for the generations of children, said David King, executive director of the Illinois Amish Heritage Center. We want guests to walk away with not only knowledge but a deep respect for the values that shape this community. Pre-registration is required and space is limited to just 25 guests. The fee includes the program, lunch, and admission to the full Heritage Center. To reserve your seat, contact Stella Eads McLean, CTIS, at 447-279-8067 or email amishtours5550@gmail.com. Payment can be made through the Illinois Amish Heritage Center website or by bringing a check on the day of the event. Please note, the Amish Education event is ticketed and requires pre-registration. The rest of the Amish Heritage Center will remain open for the public for the regular Saturday tours. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center is located just off Route 57, 9 miles west of Arcola through Chesterville on Route 133 from Arthur, just 3 miles east of Route 133. The next article, Walk Through Your Wild Side at Back to School at the Zoo, Arcola, Illinois. The Our House's Build, Amplify, Support, Empower, BASE, program invites you to the Back to School at the Zoo event on August 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This event aims to bring together youth, families, educators, and community leaders for a day of connection, learning, and fun. In partnership with the Aikman Wildlife Adventures, the Our House BASE program is offering free walk-through entrance for the first 600 attendees. There is no registration required for this event. Armbands for the walk-through entrance will be provided to the first 600 individuals. A ticket upgrade to Triple Crown is available to purchase through the Aikman Wildlife Adventure. Don't miss this opportunity for families to enjoy a fun-filled day while learning about available resources and support networks. The BASC program, which serves Coles and Douglas counties, provides tailored intervention and support to address the pressing needs of youth. The BASE program aims to build awareness of the risks associated with substance abuse among youth, amplify access to recovery and prevention resources, support the efforts of regional organizations and community groups, and empower youth and families with tools to make healthy, informed decisions. Be sure to visit the BASE program resource table for valuable educational materials, local prevention and interventional information, youth resource bags, and the chance to meet the team. For questions about this event, please contact Leanna Morgan, BASC Program Coordinator, by phone, 217-208-9274, or email leannam@ourhouserecovery.org. Funding provided in or whole or part of the Illinois Department of Human Resource Services and Division of Behavioral Health and Recovery through the Opioid Remediation Trust Fund or the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act. The Regional Care Coordination Agency, RCCA, is administered by Advocates for Human Potential Incorporated as authorized by CFA 444-26-3078. The next article, Allerton Park hosts photographer Joha Harrison, Monticello. It's been a unique journey for California-based artist Joha Harrison, Louisiana-born and Georgia-raised. He latched onto photography early and initially wanted to enter law enforcement as a crime scene photographer. But the confinement of COVID brought out an artistic nature that had been bubbling under the surface, so he switched gears, starting at a collage painting combo that is his current artistic passion. Harrison is the next artist in residence at Allerton Park and Retreat Center with a 3-week visit in August, which include a public outreach event August 11th. A community college will walk participants through the creation of blocks that will then be compiled into a large collage. Collages not only meet Harrison's artistic need, but appeal to him as a unique abstract puzzles, but done without the box top to show you the way. Let's say you have a grocery bag full of paper and all these scraps come together to complete a puzzle. Then you take the puzzle apart, said Harrison. So when I collage, I will take those scraps of paper and basically complete a puzzle from the pieces that I have. The unique tactile medium started from waste not, want not attitude. I used what I needed in pieces, but I wouldn't throw anything away. I kept all my scraps and put them in a bag, and one day I took these scraps and made a painting out of it, he said. Allerton Senior Program Coordinator Olivia Bunting is excited to see what comes of a community college, an open house style event that will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday, August 11th at the Mansion Library. I'm excited to see what pieces he ends up creating with his collage and papermaking processes, she said Bunting. His project sounds unique and interesting, using park and nature to create abstract pieces. I'm also looking forward to seeing how the community turns out to help create a collaborative piece of art using Joha's unique collage techniques. Those wanting to take part in the workshop can register, $5 per person. Walk-ins will also be taken as space allows. Harrison is also looking forward to a stay at Allerton, which began on August 3rd. I'm kind of excited for the isolation, being away from everything to see how my brain processes it and what it creates, he said. Harrison's stay is part of the in-residence program at Allerton, which has hosted artists, writers, naturalists, and musicians since 2020. About Allerton. Allerton Park and Retreat Center is a 1,500-acre public park located just southwest of Monticello, Illinois. The park features formal gardens, natural areas, nearly 16 miles of hiking trails, sculptures, and a historic 1900-era Georgian mansion / retreat center that hosts conferences, weddings, and other events. The mansion and other park properties also feature rooms available for the public for overnight stays. The park is also home to The Farms, an Allerton folk school which offers classes, workshops, retreats, and gatherings focused on art, outdoor education, science, storytelling, and wellness. Allerton Park and Retreat Center is part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. The park's vision is to inspire the community to utilize and value nature, history, and the arts through accessible and sustainable programming, research, and facilities. The next article, County Engineer, Springfield Road under construction through October. Douglas County Highway 11, 200 North Springfield Road will be under construction beginning the week of August 4th from the Moultrie-Douglas County line to County Highway 26, 425 East, Chesterville Road. The construction project is scheduled to last 80 working days. The roadway construction consists of resurfacing to improve the structural capacity of the roadway and buggy lane adjacent to the roadway. This project also includes the reconstruction for the pavement approaches to two bridges. the reconstruction of the roadway in the curb and gutter section of the alignment, pavement patching, installation of an interlayer system, incidental HMA surfacing, pavement marking, and other items of related construction. The reconstruction work will begin at the bridge located just off of West CH-26, 300 East. The road will be closed to through traffic from CR-275 East to CR-425 East. Additionally, CH-26, 300 East will be closed to through traffic from CR-100 North to CH-11, 200 North for this first phase of construction. Local traffic to homes and businesses will always have access and should use caution and follow all traffic control devices within the limits of construction. Additional press releases will be published as construction progresses and roadway closures are modified for the additional reconstruction locations. Questions may be diverted to the county engineer at 217-253-2113. Another article, Carnivals Are Disappearing Across the Country, Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tony Hooker. The smell of fried dough and popcorn, the dizzying lights of the Ferris wheel, and the cheerful barkers calling out from behind rigged games are all quintessential elements of the American small-town carnival. For generations, these traveling spectacles were the highlight of the summer, a temporary oasis of excitement that brought communities together. Yet, like so many other traditions, the small-town carnival is fading memory. The glowing lights that once punctuated the skyline are now fewer and farther between, a decline driven by a confluence of economic, social, and cultural shifts. For Donald Patton, who is in his second year as the driving force between Villa Grove's Ag Days, that point was driven home forcefully when a health situation led Connor Family Amusements, the owner of the carnival, to cancel their appearance in 2025. Patton, of course, didn't take this news lying down and proceeded to reach out to hundreds of companies to see if they could find replacements. "I made over 150 calls," Patton commented. "Unfortunately, those carnivals are booked 2 and 3 years in advance." Of course, as the demand for regional carnivals has increased, the number of companies still touring has declined. One of the primary drivers of this decline is the overwhelming economic pressure facing carnival industry. The cost of fuel, insurance, and labor have skyrocketed, making it increasingly difficult for smaller, family-run operations to stay afloat. These businesses rely on a tight circuit of fairs and festivals, and the cancellation of a single event can have a devastating ripple effect, making it financially unfeasible to travel to the next town. Furthermore, attracting a skilled, reliable workforce is a growing challenge. The demanding, nomadic lifestyle of a carny no longer holds the same appeal in the era of stable, year-round employment, leaving many shows understaffed and unable to offer the full range of attractions that once defined them. Beyond the financial struggles, societal changes have also contributed to the carnival's diminishing popularity. The rise of year-round, fixed-location amusement parks and family entertainment centers has provided a more sanitized and consistently available alternative. Modern audiences, accustomed to the high-tech thrills and safety standards of large parks, often view the temporary, often rickety-looking carnival rides with a degree of skepticism. Furthermore, the advent of digital entertainment, from video games to social media, offer instant gratification that once-a-year events simply cannot compete with. For many, the simple joy of a tilt-a-whirl or a prize won at a ring toss has been supplanted by the virtual worlds found on a smartphone screen. For Donald, however, the true purpose of carnivals and fairs remains the same. "People have to remember that this is for the children," he stated. He also noted that there'll be plenty of traditional activities, including food trucks and craft vendors, along with axe throwing, the parade, three-on-three basketball, kiddie tractor pull and straw pile, and Little Miss and Mr. Ag Days competitions, in addition to the Sundowners and auto show at Harrison Park, new this year, inflatables. "We know they're not the same as carnival rides," he said, "but they will give kids something to do from the 3 to 7 p.m. The Camargo Township Library, always a staunch supporter of VG activities, is set to be involved in family fun time at the main stage. As the future, Donald is working hard to ensure that the event goes on. We're on the short list of 15 to 16 carnival companies," he noted. "We just have to wait till the end of this carnival season to see if a weekend comes up." Of course, fitting into a carnival schedule could force the dates of the event to change once again, but as for me, I'd rather have it on a different weekend than not have it at all. Ag Days has been a staple of life in VG for 40-plus years, serving as the last official party of the summer. Here's to hoping it's around for another 40 in some iteration or another. Another article, How Does Your Favorite Summer Drink Rate? For Your Health, by Dr. Graham Kolditz. For something so simple, there can be something surprisingly enjoyable about a cold drink on a hot day. It can quench our thirst, cool us down, and just taste great. And during these warm months when we need to drink more than usual to stay hydrated, it's important to choose drinks that we like, but also important to choose drinks on the healthy side. Figuring out which drinks hit that sweet spot, though, isn't always easy. To help with that, I spoke with Yingqing Park, a nutrition researcher and professor at the Division of Public Health Services at WashU Medicine, for her insight onto which popular summer drinks are easy to say yes to and which one we should try to limit. Plain water. The best choice, she said, zero calories and refreshing with nothing extra from the kitchen tap or a bottle filling station. It's basically free and easy to find. Keep a reusable plastic-free bottle in your pack or on your desk so water's always easy to reach. Fizzy water. As good as plain, but it can cost more. Can also a nice twist on plain water. Choose unsweetened versions. Iced tea and iced coffee. A good choice, but avoid drinking too much. There can be some health benefits for drinking coffee, but caffeine can be a problem for both tea and coffee. And try to keep cream, sugar, and milk to a minimum. The calories and saturated fats can add up quickly. Coconut water. It has electrolytes, which are helpful when we're sweating a lot, but choose those with no added sugar. Fruit juices. Good option, but be sure to choose 100% fruit juice, not a fruit-flavored drink. And even for 100% juice, it's best to drink it only once in a while. While 100% juice has some vitamins and minerals, it also has about as much sugar as soda. Lemonade, very refreshing, a summer classic, but watch out for the sugar content. Like juice, it can have as much or more soda than soda, so it's best to have it only sometimes. Sugary soda, energy drinks, and sports drinks. These types of sugary beverages are not a good option. They've been linked to an increased risk of weight gain, diabetes, and other chronic diseases. Many sodas and energy sports drinks also contain a high amount of caffeine, which can be problematic for many people, especially children. Combined with the warm temperatures of summer, the caffeine can also lead to dehydration. Sugary drinks are popular, but they're best to avoid, particularly for kids. Diet soda. Since there's no sugar in diet soda, it seems a better option than sugary drinks, but that's not the case. It's best to limit them as well. Diet sodas contain caffeine and artificial sweeteners, which have been linked to poor health outcomes in some studies. Blended coffee drinks. These are unhealthy combination of sugar and caffeine, plus they can be very high in calories. Iced coffee or cold brew has just a splash of milk as a healthier alternative. Bubble tea. A fun drink for summer, but best to limit. It contains a high amount of caffeine and calories. Beer, hard seltzers, and other alcohol. Alcoholic beverages can lead to dehydration and have other well-known serious health effects. Alcohol increases the risk of cancer, as well as injury, suicide, liver disease, mental illness, and even infectious disease. As much as beer and other drinks can be traditional parts of summer celebrations, the healthiest approach is not to drink. Try non-alcoholic beer for a better option that tastes like the real thing. Enjoying our favorite drinks with family and friends or in a quiet moment alone can be a very special part of summer. Day to day, though, try to choose healthier drinks overall. It's the best way to stay hydrated and can give you a real boost on our long-term health. Except for plain water, it's best to drink all of other beverages in moderation or less, Park concluded. Most we shouldn't drink every day. It's your health. Take control. Dr. Graham Kolditz is Associate Director of Prevention and Control at Siteman Cancer Center at Jewish Barnes Hospital and WashU Medicine in St. Louis, an internationally recognized leader in cancer prevention and creator of the 8 Ways to Prevent Cancer series. The next article, Governor Richard Oglesby Mansion to host August Quilt Exhibit. The Governor Richard James Oglesby Mansion, located at 421 West William Street, will be hosting a special quilt exhibit in August. The mansion will be open each Wednesday and Saturday. A donation is requested. The doors will open at 2 p.m. and the mansion will close at 4 p.m. Members of the board of directors and community volunteers act as docents during the tours. The home is also open the last Sunday of the month, August 31st, 2 to 4 p.m. The Governor's Mansion invited the talented members of the Decatur Quilters Guild to display some of their quilts in the patterns of Governor Oglesby's time at the mansion. The Guild will have over a dozen quilts on display during the August open house at the mansion. Visitors will see various pattern quilts displayed, including the log cabin pattern and crazy quilt. The displayed quilts are the patterns of the 1880s during Oglesby's time in Decatur. This quilt display will help fulfill our mission. We appreciate the partnership with the Guild members. Our mission is to educate about the governor's life and what life was like when he lived in Decatur. Those types of quilt were definitely part of the story, says Dave Davis, board president for the Governor Oglesby Mansion. The Decatur Quilters Guild was created by 9 women in 1979. Over the past 40 years, the group has grown to 65 members strong. The Guild's mission statement is to preserve, educate, promote, and share the art of quilting. They host a large quilt show every other year, provide lessons in beginning quilting, do trunk shows for nursing homes and senior living centers, donate lap quilts and neck pillows to hospice and cancer care, and to veterans. Members have also provided programs for school children. The Guild is a not-for-profit organization made up of quilters who enjoy sharing their love for quilting with the community. Guild meetings are held the second and fourth Wednesday of the month from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Grace Baptist Church, 3770 North Water Street, Decatur. More information about the mansion is available at www.oglesbymansion.org. Another article, Tell Them How You Really Feel Before It's Too Late, The Ramblin' Man by Dave Porter. Tell them how you really feel before it's too late. Wouldn't it be nice if you could hear the eulogies told at your own funeral? I mean, generally speaking, people say nice things about you, right? I'm actually reluctant to have a funeral partly because I'm not sure anyone would say nice things, and I wouldn't be there to defend myself. I think I'm a good person, so there's probably no one, probably would be someone, but it's not necessarily. I get to write about myself every week, so there's not much left to say. People already know how great I am because I tell them all the time. Seriously, though, it seems a shame to me that we don't often tell people what they mean to us until they're gone. I've been thinking about that for a few months as one of my best friends has been in and out of hospital. He's recovering pretty well now, but it didn't look good for a while. In words, he felt like he was circling the drain. I admire when someone can face death and crack a joke. I think it's the fearlessness stemming from a life well lived. Or maybe it's a sign of lunacy. 50-50. I don't know why we're so reluctant to tell people how we feel. I think it's partly because we don't want to make things awkward between us, and we don't want to feel obligated to keep saying only nice things. It's pretty universal that men express their fondness toward each other by poking fun. I just don't want to give that up. I think I was 19 when I first met Mike Carroll. He was a lawyer then, and I was a cub reporter for my hometown newspaper. Mike occasionally wrote opinion pieces for the paper. The columns were always funny and well-written. He was obviously smart. He'd been an Army officer and now a lawyer. He served at various times as a state's attorney, city attorney, and eventually a circuit judge. He'd been a standout athlete and was also a talented artist, property developer, and entrepreneur. I like smart people, and I've always valued mentorship. If life was a golf game, I could only hope to someday caddy for Mike. I remember sitting in Mike's office on Main Street. We worked together to help establish a county museum, or maybe I was interviewing him for a different story. In any case, my reason for being there had long expired, and we were just chatting. His secretary buzzed in and told him that his next appointment was there. Mike just kept chatting. At some point, I said I should go since he had someone waiting for him. He said they could continue to wait. This is what they mean when they say you won't remember what people did or said, but you'll remember what they did to make how they made you feel. Mike made me feel like I had value. Despite being a college dropout, barely earning a living, he made me feel important. He confessed that he frequently makes people late because he's enjoying the current conversation and isn't ready for it to be over. I moved away and was gone for 20 years. When I moved back and started my own newspaper, Mike reached out to me wanting to help, and he did help. I know there were people who thought he was backing me financially. He wasn't, but I think he would have if I'd asked him to. He helped by writing regularly for me and bringing other people to the table. When you have Mike in your corner, others follow. Once in a while, he would come up to the house to sneak in a cigar. We'd sit in my home office and debate politics, religion, and anything else that came up. We agreed on more things than he would want to admit. He seemed to enjoy the arguments more as I did. One day I said we should turn a camera on and let other people watch. It was a shame to waste his masterful debating skills and depth of knowledge on just me. He agreed to it, and we've been recording a weekly webcast ever since. I think it's been over 6 years now. It has evolved into a little local history program, but the main benefit for me is that it forces Mike to spend an hour or two a week with me. And he also continued to bring others to the table, expanding my network and understanding of the world. Mike is the most interesting person I've ever met, and it is privileged to get to spend so much time with him. And that is all we have room for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye, and see you again next week.